If only I was living in the UK. If only I had a vote in the UK. Now, I did for 30 years. I went to London in 1975 and I didn't leave the UK until 2005. And I, you know, so I no longer have a vote. I would love to be able to vote in the UK, because at least I would know where one of the votes would go in the coming referendum. I have no influence, so nothing I'm going to say in this audio is likely to change anybody's mind. So I'm really, above all, talking to Mark Cotton, or talking about Mark Cotton, who has drawn our attention today to the fact that the headlines in the Times newspaper and the headlines in the Sun newspaper are arguing in favour of the UK to leave the EU. And Mark is good enough to remind us that in the 1930s, some, I don't know which ones to be honest, of the British papers spoke highly positively about Hitler. That is something Mark is reminded of. And, Mark says something that also is interesting. He says, piss off. Yeah, now you don't often get such a succinct, but not crude, lead from somebody. I mean, if he'd used another word, I think he might have been banned from Audioboo. But I do think that piss off is legitimate, since I doubt that Mark will have much influence either. I hold my hand up and say I don't really know if Mark is going to have much influence. I hope he will. So back to the issue in hand. Has Rupert Murdoch got, let us say, the right to own the Times and the Sun? There's a question. Does he have the right? Now, that's a different question from should he have the right? So I think we would all agree that he has the right, since he does own them. And next question is, should Rupert Murdoch have the right to express his views through newspapers that he owns? Does he have the right? Yes, he does, since he owns. But should he have the right? That's another issue. I suspect, by the way, that it probably doesn't take Rupert Murdoch to express his own point of view for both of those newspapers to express their points of view, since the editors in both cases were appointed by Rupert Murdoch. And it's beyond, what is it, peradventure? Or beyond belief, anyway, that the editors of both the Sun and the Times could have got into their position without Rupert Murdoch's imprimatur. So we live in a system over in Ireland, and similarly in the UK, in which it is indeed possible for rich people to buy national newspapers and acquire their own communication channel. I live in a world, and you live in a world, and I'm exercising it right now, in which it's possible for me to acquire, and you to acquire, your own communication channel. Yep, I own my own smartphone, and I can communicate with in writing and in pictures and in audio and in video using my smartphone. So it's in that sense, it's could be said to be, you know, Mark against Rupert Murdoch. And by Mark, I mean all those fellow travelers and people who agree with Mark versus Rupert Murdoch. Now, it's one hell of a bloody challenge to get a collaboration between owners of small media channels like this one, and to get us all to collaborate and to construct something that can rival Mr. Murdoch's channels. And we all know that. Doesn't mean it's not worth trying to do. So the big question then for me is, how effectively do those of us who disagree with the views of Mr. Murdoch, how effectively do we collaborate? Yeah, what's our skill at it? Mr. Murdoch doesn't really need to collaborate, since he hires people, and you probably wouldn't say that there is a collaboration between an employer and an employee, since it's a very unequal relationship and money passes from one hand to the other. So it would be fairer and more accurate to describe the relationship, so far as communication is concerned, to be a bribery. In other words, the owner of the newspaper bribes people who write in the newspaper to express views in agreement with his or her own. But how well do we collaborate? I have to say that Mark and I did not collaborate before either of us have expressed our views on Brexit here. No, we didn't talk on the phone. We didn't coordinate the timing of our communications. We did nothing. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody for that, but I'm sort of dwelling on the how tricky and how difficult, but how magnificent it is as a challenge to try to collaborate. Now, in the old days, we went on marches. Yep. We made up banners and we gathered together in groups, our particular group, and we marched in collaboration with others. In other words, we did collaboration. Yeah, we did. We did an awful lot of marching. And although the days of marching are not gone, comparatively few marches these days, marching was great collaboration. I mean, thinking back to the march from South Wales in the 1930s to me was one of the great marches of all time. What about the march of people to tear down the barbed wire and the fences that prevented people from walking on the hillsides and helped create the Pennine Way in England? What about the mass trespass? Now, you would think that these days, with our communication devices, that we'd be incredibly good at collaborating. You know, after all, we all have Facebook. Well, forgive me now for overgeneralizing, but, you know, it means that we can communicate with each other and we can coordinate. So, anyway, Mark's made me think. He's made me think about the unequal power between owners who can bribe people, and people who have absolutely no power to bribe anybody else. And I guess that will never change. So we might as well all knuckle down to the job of becoming better at collaborating. And I say, bring back marching. And if we can't do that, I don't know what we can do. Hack, I suppose. Bye for now. Oh, and thanks, Mark Cotton. Thank you very much. You're a great guy to riff off, you musician. You're